Welcome to another episode of Them Asperger's.
Hello.
We are recording stuff, I guess. We're in a different place. It might be a bit odd because we normally do this in Bournemouth, but we're away at Bournemouth at the moment, so we're recording this in Nottingham instead, which is, so if it seems a bit muddled or a bit all over the place, that'd be mainly me having issues with the change of
Nikki
location.
is so thrown off right now.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I would say, what's new with you at the moment? Anything?
Yeah, I'm in Nottingham.
Oh no, I've just said that.
Nothing else really new with me. Been relatively uneventful week. Last week, didn't really do anything different that I can remember.
Yeah, it's weird because everything's kind of settled. The episodes we used to do at the start of this. Well, the beginning, it was like a new thing every week with, the week in general, but there's not really anything going on at the moment.
Yeah, I think like having come, so obviously we both are here in Nottingham, so we travelled, not permanently, we're just visiting, but I think that was interesting because I think we were both looking forward to getting out of Bournemouth, but equally when it came to the actual time to go, a little bit of a freak out. Not like a bad one, but there was a lot of is like especially with you, is your flat locked? Have you shut the door? Are all the windows shut? Are all the animals put away safely? Is everything okay? There was a lot of that, and same from me as well.
Yeah, and obviously we drove here, so it was dealing with the car as well. I had and all extra things going on with that as well. Like, does this need doing? Should I have done that? So yeah.
Yeah. But we did it. We got out, and it's good. I
Yeah.
think it's just the, it's that bit right before when you have to force yourself to leave that I think is the bigger issue. And it's not because you don't want to go, it's just the change of things.
Yeah, it makes me wonder how anybody on the spectrum does anything really, other than what's meant to do, like our routine. It was pointed out that even though I'm from Nottingham, I haven't been back here for 2 years, nearly 2 years actually, maybe over 2 years. And that's mainly down to the fact that it's weird to go anywhere for me, like Holiday Inn or that kind of thing. As much as I say that I don't like holidays and I don't do that kind of thing, the act of getting myself ready and leaving, because I have like weird thoughts about my own flat when I'm not there. So I get like loads of odd thoughts about what will happen to the place, what will go on with the flat. Like this, there'll be a fire, there'll be a burglary, there'll be something. So I'm always thinking that might happen. Like I had a thought this morning. I just thought if something's happened by now, I would know, I guess, because the people that live next door would have noticed and they would have told somebody else in the building who would have then called, these people and I'd have found out about it. But yeah, I just have thoughts like that. So I don't like leaving my flat because I've got a weird thing about leaving it unattended for periods of time. It's like going to work. I have the same thing. So yeah, I think that's why one of the reasons I don't like going anywhere is because I get weird about like my base, I guess, and traveling too far away from it. Like people that go traveling in general, like I'd never do that. I think like a week away somewhere is bad enough, so I don't like to do it if it can be helped. But then I don't know, it's like a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I say that I want to do, but then like the thought of breaking out of routine or breaking out of what I'm used to is too intimidating, so I won't do it. But yeah, also say thanks for everyone for listening to last week's episode because it seems to have done well than every other episode we've done. Not it hasn't had the most listens out of every episode, but it's listens in the week since it's happened because I've got like a tracker that tells me how many times it seems to have been listened to more than episodes done in the past, which is great. I know that Emily has asked me a couple of times now, did it go okay? Did people not mind her? She wasn't sure how well it was going to go or how people would find her. But yeah,
yeah,
seems to have done really well.
And thank you everyone for your feedback on it, because we've had some really nice feedback. And I think one thing that I don't know if you were, I was a little bit worried about, and I know Emily was also a little bit worried about, was if it came across kind of negatively. And I don't think it did, and it didn't, it definitely didn't mean to, but I think obviously we were talking about a relationship that it worked brilliantly as a friendship, and it did work as a relationship for a bit, but it didn't last as a romantic relationship. So obviously when talking about the romantic side of that relationship, it's not intentionally negative, it's just that it, for you and Emily, it didn't work. So it wasn't to say that NT and AS relationships can't work, it's just in for the two of you, it didn't. But
yeah,
I just appreciate everyone saying such nice things about it, because that was the thing that I was worried about, and Emily was worried about as well afterwards. She was a bit like, oh no, did that come across too negatively? But obviously it's not generalizing, and it's not saying for everyone, but in that situation we were just specifically talking about your relationship, and really it wasn't a failure, because the two of you get along really well now, you're still really close friends, so it is a success, just not,
yeah. And you said I don't know if you've seen, but there's some comments on our page that have said that they're in a ASNT relationship and it works well.
Yeah.
But then there's other people that have said that they were in ones that didn't end well as well, but they feel like it makes sense, because obviously for a lot of people, they don't really, sometimes like it just ends and they don't understand why it didn't work out, or, you know, that kind of thing, or why it didn't go anywhere. Or even though it seemed right, it ended. Some people have said that they like that, what I said and what Emily said, her perspective of it, it made sense to them, or it made them feel better, because obviously sometimes when you break up with someone, you don't talk to them anymore anyway.
Yeah.
So you never find out how it was. You just have your own like speculation on what happened. So some people liked the Emily side of it, on the basis that you could have like talking to someone after and hear the non like autistic perspective of it. And it made some people just feel like it wasn't that bad really.
Yeah. And it was really nice actually, because the way you broke up was, like you said in the episode, there was no malice or anything. It just literally was a conversation of, this, we're probably not compatible in that way. But you did maintain like a really good friendship, and it's nice the way you talk about it, and the way you are with each other is like, it's just like best friends, isn't it?
Yeah. We still see each other all the time. Like I say, she's messaged about the episode asking me how it went. So that was good. So, moving on to this week's topic.
Yes.
So we were going to do, we did the food one a bit ago. So yeah. Not a bit ago, like episode before last. And we were supposed to do the other one on like exercise and like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but then we did the Emily episode, because we, like I say, arranging it was a bit of a, like we had to get a right time and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd done it, we needed to post it, so we put it out there. So it's kind of broken up the two, but we're going to move on to the exercise side of things, which is weird, because I know some people, when they first found out about the food topic, didn't think it would be an interesting like topic to talk about. There were some people that said that they heard about it and then thought, oh, I don't know about this one. But they went into it anyway, and we weren't just talking about like food.
Yeah.
We were talking about like food and autism. So this would be a similar thing with exercise and autism. And exercise is one of those things that I know for a lot of NT people, exercise is like a big thing. Like I've tried to think about like the way to start this for this week. But one of the things that I've noticed is the gym. So the gym is one of those things that is an NT thing mainly. I don't feel like gyms, for me anyway especially, are really that friendly for autism, if you know what I mean.
No, I find, I don't think scary is the right word, but definitely I find gyms very intimidating, and I can't imagine walking into a gym on my own and feeling comfortable exercising, honestly.
No, I mean, I've been I've been in gyms, but yeah, it's all right when you go with people. And I think when I've signed up to them before, it's because I've gone with people. But then if you try going on your own, it is a lot harder because you've got to go, and you've got to, like, if you don't get changed when you go there, some people go there in your regular clothes and then get changed when they're there and do all that stuff. I can't do things like after the gym, like getting in a shower with other people that are in like communal shower areas. I can't do that. It's too much. I just can't do it. I'd rather just go home and not do that kind of thing. So there's the whole prepping for it. There's the whole like getting ready and then going into the gym. And then when you're in the gym, you've kind of got it in your head, what order you want to do everything in. And it's like everything else. You've got like your schedule, your routine, the way you do everything. So you've got it in your head, like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, then this, then this. And then if you go in there and then the first machine you want to use is in use,
Yeah. What
like,
do you do?
it's not a case of just, oh well, okay, I'll move on to the next one then and come back to that. I start just floating about like I'm gonna not, I start just waiting. I'll just pretend like I'm not ready to work out yet. I'm here to do something else first. So I just start hanging around waiting for the machine to be free. But you can't work out how long someone's been on it for, or do you know what I mean? You don't know what you're supposed to do. So there's that whole aspect of it. There's the fact that the gym is always full of people. So you have to start then thinking, like, if it's full of people, because you've got, like, if you start putting your, when you go into the gym in your routine or in your schedule for the week, you try and fit it in there, but then if you go at certain times, say you've made your schedule of going to the gym like 7 o'clock at night, and that's the time you want to go, and that's the busy period of when everyone else goes to the gym, it makes it horrible. So then you have to start thinking about making your gym time a time when nobody goes. But then that ends up being like crazy early in the morning or really late at night. And like both of those times aren't optimum for you. Like we've done this before. We talk about, I talk about like running because we run like first thing in the morning. But it's hard sometimes to do it like first thing in the morning. So like when you have the gym and you want to make it first thing in the morning and you can't do it because you can't get yourself to go at that time in the morning, or you try and fit it somewhere else, it's worse than when you don't start going. So say you don't go to the gym because, like I said, you can't use the machine at the right time, or there's too many people in there, or it's too noisy. Smells as well for me, there's certain smells for the gym and that kind of thing. So you start trying to put it in a time where nobody else is there. Like I say, it's usually a time of day where you don't want to be going. So then you don't go. And then for me, I have like then the anxiety of they're taking money out of my bank account and I'm not going anymore. Or you get it in your head that you're going to want to go to the gym like 3 times a week, and then you don't go for one time. So then for me, I start panicking about like, oh, I haven't gone. Like, oh, what does that mean? Like, especially if I've gone to the gym for like, I want to lose weight, or if I want to achieve something, which is obviously why most people go to the gym or something like that. And then you start missing sessions because you don't want to go because it's too busy or it's too whatever. You then start, even though you're not like putting on weight, or even though if you're not achieving a thing you want a thing, you start thinking that you're going the other way because you haven't been going to the gym. So I start thinking I'm putting on weight and the gym's taking my money. And I get like a weird anxiety of I should be leaving for the gym now, but if I go now, everybody's going to be in there. So I don't want to go in there if everybody's in there. So I'm not going to go, or I'll leave it a bit. And then before you know it, it's like 10 o'clock at night, and you think, well, do I go now? I've got to be up early in the morning. So do I be tired tomorrow, or do I just not go and get sleep? And then you've got like that, and then you don't go, and then you think, oh, I probably won't eat this tomorrow then, because that'll have to counteract going. So like I think it's weird because the gym and like that element, I mean, obviously we can cover other stuff with exercise, but just that, because that's like the thing everyone thinks about when you say to someone exercise, most people think join a gym. And I really don't think for anybody out there that's on the spectrum that they want to like have a regular exercise routine or something like that. I don't know if gyms are autism friendly. I'm not There might be autism-friendly gyms out there, or it might be like places that do, like they do an autism hour. There might be gyms that do like autism bits, like between this and this is autism. It's not an autism thing, but it's quieter, or it's for people who do have like social anxiety and that kind of thing. But it's I don't think it's that positive for people on the spectrum, especially like you said, trying to just walk into a gym, like walk through the front door into the actual gym on your own, is a bit like hideous. Like I have to always go in with like music on, and I have to like not look at anybody and that kind of thing. So I've never really done it. Like I said, I've been to two gyms. I went to one when I first went to uni, and one ages ago before I went to university. And I always found it really like it gave me a lot of anxiety. Just like I was fine traveling there, but the second I got there and I'm about to enter the building, there'd be this weird thing of like, oh, don't go in. Should I go in? Don't go in. I don't know if I want to go in. And then you've got the element of I have a weird thing about like people watching me
I was
exercise,
gonna say that, yeah.
or people watching me use the machines or that kind of thing. Because what if I'm doing it wrong? Or what if I don't know. Like it's just a weird thing. Like some people can do it like faster or better or that kind of thing. I always feel like there's a weird element of like comparing yourself to people or people like judging you for the way you're doing stuff. So I find the whole experience just bizarre and like not comfortable at all. Like I think both times I've tried to be in one, I think I managed like two, three sessions and then just thought, I can't keep coming here. This is bad.
Yeah, I think so. I had the same thing, even though chances are nobody is watching me in the gym whatsoever. I'm sure nobody really cared about what I was doing. I don't, for some reason in my head, when I walked through the door, everyone was staring and wanted to see exactly what I was doing. I don't know why. It's just, I think that's just a quite a typical burger thing. I think the problem for me as well was always the pressure. Like, what if I started doing a machine and then realized after two reps that I was done with that machine? I didn't like it, it was uncomfortable or whatever. I didn't want people to see that I'd only done two reps, and then how many is the right amount to show that you've done a bit of a workout on that machine? And sort of similarly, kind of. Moving from the gym, I had the same sort of thing with running, not to the same level, but when I first started running, I've always been quite lucky in that I started running when I was, I think I was 15 or 16 when I started running, and I was lucky in the sense that I was quite, I suppose, naturally, I could run. So when I started, I did a 5K and I was okay with that. But I was always really anxious about people seeing me when I ran. I don't know why. It's not, I don't really care what I like look like, so.
Oh yeah, no, I've had that. I had that as well. Same. But yeah, carry on, carry on.
Yeah, so I was always kind of worried about people seeing me and judging me, and what if I was running too slowly? And especially when I started running longer distances, when I started training for things that were a lot further, I'd always have this anxiety of what if I need to stop? And then what if someone sees that I've stopped? And it doesn't have to be someone I know. What if I just see a stranger while I'm stopped? And for some reason, I'll think that they're judging me, like, oh, she can't do it. Or, not that it matters, and it really doesn't, but I definitely used to have that with running. I don't anymore, and I think the reason for that is just the more I did it, the more comfortable I got with myself. Like, I now know that I probably won't need to stop, but if I do need to stop, I think I have the own security in my head of I need to stop today because of this reason, not because I can't do it. I think it just comes with having done it more. And now, yeah, now I don't care. I think another thing that really helped with that was when I started running, not in the area that I'm from. So obviously I moved to Bournemouth, and I think running in Bournemouth was different for me because I didn't know anyone there. Even now, I don't know that many people there. And where I'm from, I think I was always just worried that I would see people that knew me from school, and then maybe they'd say something to people at school. I don't know, something like that, some pressures there. So definitely moving to Bournemouth really helped. And also, like you said, we run most of the time sort of first thing in the morning, so it's quite quiet. We tend not to run when it's too busy because not for anxiety reasons, more just because it's annoying if you're constantly trying to get round people and you're going to be in people's way, they're going to be in your way, everything like that. But for me, I think just doing it more and having more confidence in myself as a runner really helped. And yeah, I hate to say that the thing that really helped me was the fact that I now live far away from where I'm from, but that really did make a difference for me. I started realizing when I was out and about that I didn't care because everyone was a stranger, and it was more comforting. But yeah, what about you with running? 'Cause you've always ran. You only started running sort of a year ago.
I don't know. It's one of those things where I contemplated running as a form of exercise, because just to sort of say, like, exercise in general, I think for people on the spectrum, I've noticed that the ones that work out the best are the solitary ones, like running, and I cycle as well. But I'm just thinking of, like, obviously we said, like, the gym, but I've noticed that, like, I don't know how good sport-based exercises or team-based exercises. So obviously, like, in school, when you play like football and rugby and things like that, it's a form of exercise, I suppose, that's like obviously made you to do in school. And there are people that once they finish school or after school do football or team sports and that kind of thing. But I always found team sports a problem. I always found it like a thing that I couldn't really do. Because you've got to work with other people and you've got to have that like group mentality and stuff. So I was never really good at that because everybody expects you to be a certain way. And I think the feeling of not knowing when to, you know, when's a good time to pass something to it.
Yeah.
Like, I just never really like got the whole team sport thing. But I know for a lot of people that's like a form of exercise where they play football and that kind of thing. So I do think that like the group based activities were the ones that I struggled with the most, because I was not good at any team sports or being part of a team. I always picked roles within the team that were more solitary. So when I played football, I always tried to be like goalkeeper, because you don't have to work with anybody in that situation. And it's hard because obviously when you grow up not being diagnosed, you're obviously made to do that kind of thing. I don't know if it works any different in autistic schools or children that are recognized as autistic. I don't know if they're made to do like team sports and that kind of thing as well. I'm not sure. I've never really looked into it. But I know for me it was very difficult. I hated team sports in general. I did not like doing them. But it wasn't the physical activity of it. It's not like it was too tiring. It's just I couldn't do the whole team thing. I never really worked on... So I never really got good at like playing the actual sport itself or the physical activity of the sport, because I was too focused on everybody else. So it meant that everybody else got really good at like, you know, skills with like balls and that kind of thing. But yeah. I was too focused on trying to appear normal while I was on the pitch or whatever that I, it never really caught on. So I always really hated it. And then as a add on to that, obviously all my friends start to like football and supporting football teams and that kind of thing, but because I didn't understand the sport in general, I just couldn't get on with it. I couldn't understand it. So it just sort of, it made me think that I'm not like a very like team person, but for a long time I thought that it was just because I wasn't good at sports. But then solo based ones I managed to get the hang of, I suppose. I say solo based ones like running and cycling, they're ones that you don't require a team. But even then, like sports days at school, because obviously you do sports days at school or like athletics, you know, it is like running on your own, or, you know, long jump, high jump, that kind of thing. You're still competing against other people. And even though it's not a team based thing, there's still the element of you've got to be faster than the other people or jump further than the other people. And that always put a lot of pressure on me to be better than everyone else. And then when everybody else would beat me at stuff, I'd be weird about it. Like I didn't understand why I couldn't do it or why they could do it. It never really made sense that with that kind of thing. So I only like to do stuff where I'm on my own and there's no element of competition, but it's not because I'm not competitive, but I don't think that's because I'm not competitive, because whatever reason it makes people competitive, I'm not, because I can't be, because when I get, if it made me competitive, I'd have to be the best, immediately.
Yeah.
And if I'm not, it's not a case of, well, I'll get it next time, or I just need to work on that. I just feel like it's not right. It's the same when I'm cycling, because I cycle to and from work and everywhere else. And the real reason that I cycle is because I can't use public transport. I don't like being on buses with loads of people. Like I said, I don't mind trains, and trains aren't so bad, but there is sometimes where trains are horrible to be on because there's nowhere to sit and everyone's like, I'm all right on a quiet train, but I would never get on a train during like peak times. And it's the same with buses.
Yeah.
I just won't use them at all. And so because of that, I decided to be cycling instead. I decided to cycle to and from work because I thought that would be a way of getting to, and because I could walk, but walking to work takes too long, you know, it takes like an hour and a bit, whereas if I cycle it, it's like 15 minutes. So I originally started cycling just as a way to not be on a bus. But then I got into that, and that was like a good form of exercise, because obviously riding a bike is good. But if I'm cycling to work, and even when I'm carrying like a bag of stuff, because I carry like a big backpack of everything I need for work, if someone goes past me,
yeah,
there's then this element of, they're faster than me. They're like a quicker cyclist than me. So then I'm trying to catch up with them, even though they're wearing no bag. So, I mean, they're obviously out on like a bike ride. They've got like all the full cycling stuff on.
Yeah.
I'm wearing like a, my cycling stuff is, it's a mixture of like, I have to have like durable things because I cycle all the time. So it's not like a full like spandex outfit or whatever.
Yeah.
But if someone goes past me, I'm then having to like catch up with them,
yeah,
overtake them, and like end up wearing myself out. And I'm kind of like that a bit with running, I suppose, as well. Is I'm all right as long as I'm on my own. Like you say, if you go out early in the morning, it's fine. It's just the element of other people being around you. I think it's weird. Like say, if someone runs past me, for some reason, I don't feel like I'm running fast enough, or you know, doing it properly. And I think that's because, like with everything else, like I've talked about before with like my masking and that kind of thing, with any sort of social stuff, I find like even exercise in groups or around people, I feel like it's a social thing and I need to behave a certain way, so it affects my behavior. So it's one of those things that's difficult. But then it's not like you, I suppose, I should know what I was going to say there.
That's fine. I think, I agree with you. I think that I find it difficult to do group things in general. And that is more than just exercise. Just group activities for all things, I think, are a little bit more challenging for certain people on the spectrum, for sure. And like you say, the same with exercise. There's the added element of the competitiveness, which... I don't know, some I know is can be a struggle for some people on the spectrum. For me, I think the reason I exercise isn't so much for, well, I suppose it is, you know, partly for, I suppose, physically to maintain, or yeah, to maintain a certain aesthetic, but I wouldn't say that that's the main reason I exercise at all. I don't do it for how I look physically. I definitely think that for me, exercise has a huge difference mentally, and that's where I think it really comes into how it benefits me. I definitely feel a lot better if I am sticking to quite a regular exercise routine. I think it really helps me with a lot of things. So I walk to and from work every day, and the walk is, it takes about half an hour. Yeah, it's about a 30-minute walk. And I think for me, that time is really good because I put my noise-cancelling headphones on to walk to work, and it's kind of like my break from being at home to being at work. It really helps to separate the two, because I do have a period of time to get from one place to another. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I find it breaks home and work life apart for me. I don't know if you feel the same with your cycling.
Yeah, I guess so. I need time to, I suppose, yeah, if there was any way, like, I don't know if I started working next door to,
Yeah.
you know, like where I lived, then that'd be difficult. I suppose, if I don't have to get on the bus, because getting on a bus to go to work is difficult because I'm getting up and then, you know, you go to catch a bus and I start thinking, like, have I missed it? Am I going to miss it? There's like that weird time frame of,
Yeah.
am I going to make it on time to the bus? What if I miss the bus? Then you get on the bus and it's busy, and then I'm having to like worry about people that can see me on the bus and what they're thinking about me and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Then you get off the bus and then you're at work. So like, yeah, I get what you mean. Like, it takes me like 15 minutes to cycle to work, and in those 15 minutes, I am more, I suppose, prepped, or like it's able to have that transition. I mean,
Yeah.
I could get that from walking as well. But there is something about the, I guess, the physical exercise of it as well. I imagine if I was sat, I don't know, like in some sort of like driverless car on the way to work, I think I'd worry more about where I was going
Yeah.
than I do if I'm doing exercise. I do think like with the walking or the cycling, because exercise is supposed to be good for you mentally in that way. I do feel like if it does release endorphins, whatever it is, I feel like that is more of a positive thing than normal. The only thing I've noticed is even with my cycling, is once I get to like I'm about 2 minutes away from work, then the thoughts of I'm about to be at work, I'm about to do the thing for the day come in, but they're less likely than if I wasn't doing the exercise. I think the physical activity is distracting to some level. It's the same with me from when I get back from work or before work. If I go for a run,
Yeah.
I think running also is a good way for me to clear like my anxiety thoughts. Like when we run together, I usually use it as a way to basically empty all the things
Yeah.
that are in my head at you, I
That
suppose.
that's actually what I was gonna say next as
Yeah.
well. So it was a nice transition there. So when we run together most of the time. If I run on my own, I kind of do the same thing. I use it as a time to really think about things that might be bothering me. And I think the combination of thinking about them whilst doing some sort of physical exercise is quite helpful, something that's a little bit strenuous. But for us, when we run together, especially for you, but I think we both use it as a time to, I mean, we say kind of to rant, and it sort of is. It's our time where I think our usual run is about an hour, maybe just under,
Yeah.
and sometimes we run for a lot longer, but usually it's around an hour, maybe 45 minutes. And we spend that time really just getting everything off our chest that has annoyed us about the day. So sometimes it will be talking about work, or sometimes it will be talking about people. And sometimes it will just be talking about things that are happening in the world that are kind of irritating to us, you know, like news stories that have riled us up or whatever. And I think it is quite a healthy way to get it out while we're out, like we're in the outside. So it's, I don't know if this sounds really cheesy, but to not be saying it in like your flat, for example, because if you say it in your flat, then it's kind of that's the attitude of being in there for that period of time. I don't know if that makes any sense, but if you're saying it while you're outdoors, then when you get back to your flat and you've had a shower and you're sitting in the living room, then it's a different, you can talk about something else and you haven't started that conversation there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I really think like while we're out for a run and yeah, something about combining it with physical exercise, it makes it feel better. It's almost like you're saying it, but you're also pushing your body at the same time, and then you can come back and just relax. Like you've got the bad thoughts out, you've also got like you've used up some energy, and now it's relax time. If you agree, I don't know.
I think that works. I mean, I always have issues, or I suppose used to have issues with falling asleep. Like I have a lot of like repetitive thoughts, ruminating, that kind of thing, when I'm going
Yeah.
to bed. And that would stop me from falling asleep. So I'd just get into bed and then not be able to sleep for ages. But I've noticed that like if I have done a run or something like that, I've noticed that then because I've got the thoughts out, even if I'm not running with you and I'm running on my own,
Yeah.
it still helps me like work stuff out. Same with walking long distances. I have found that if I walk on my own, it makes me think about a load of stuff, and I get it out of my head. Unless I'm walking to meet you. If I'm walking to meet you, then I just think about all the stuff I'm going to say when I see you, all the things that I want to ask you about. But yeah, I do feel like there's some sort of, and there's probably like a scientific reason for it, but there's like a there's definitely like a combination of why I can only get certain thoughts out, or I can only, like, I suppose, like, get rid of the things that I'm thinking about a lot if I'm doing some sort of exercise at the same time. If I do it just sat still, it seems like endless. It just goes on. Like, I think about something, and I think about all the things that are bothering me, and I go through them all, but then I'll just start again and then go through them all again and then start again. It's something to do with when I do it when I'm on a run, or when I do it when I'm cycling or walking. It seems to, as I've had the thought, it goes, and then it doesn't come back until something similar happens again that makes me think about it again. But it's not a continuous cycle, and there may be like a weird link for that, which I think is probably a... Yeah, which is, you know, people always say that, like, exercise in general is good for you. Or if you're feeling stressed or agitated or something like that, it's a good thing to do. And especially with me, it does seem to help. But obviously there's times where I can't really do anything about it. So there's times where I'll be agitated and stressed, but I'm still, like, start of my day or something, and I haven't got time to go do the thing. But then I have to just deal with that in general.
I think another thing, like, I really noticed the difference if I've been sat indoors for a large quantity of the day, just getting outside and doing something, whether it be walking, running, cycling, or other things outside, just being a little bit active and not indoors, I really think helps. It just make me feel better. Like, yesterday we went for quite a long walk around town. I mean, it wasn't like a hike or anything, but we were out for quite a significant amount of time, a good few hours just walking around. And I think I really felt the difference. I loved it. I loved, even though the weather wasn't that good and there were lots of things that would, like being in a town, it wasn't too busy, but it's quite a big town. There are lots of factors such as that usually would be a little bit uncomfortable, but I was just felt so much better for having been outside for a longer period of time and doing a bit of walking around. And because sort of the last few days before that we'd spent a lot of time driving and being sat in the car, because it took us about 4.5 hours to drive here, and on the Friday we'd both been at work, so we'd been sort of at work and then driving in a car. So I think it does make a big difference to get out. Like, I really noticed the difference just being out. Made me feel better, made me feel less sort of cooped up. So I think that's really helpful. Another thing I was going to talk about as well is the sensory aspect that we get, if you're happy to talk about that, with our running and walking.
Yeah.
And cycling as well. But we both wear barefoot running shoes.
Mm.
Which is also transpersed into we now wear barefoot shoes sort of all the time.
Yeah.
And so barefoot shoes are shoes that have a really thin sole. The sole is strong enough to protect against glass or, you know, sharp objects on the floor. It can't penetrate, but you can really feel everything. All the ground beneath your feet. If you stand on a stone, it hurts. There's not any sort of cushioning or padding there. And there's loads of science behind why you would want to wear them for, I don't know, walking and running and the benefits. But for us, I think the main one is being able to feel everything. We've mentioned before sort of stamping, stomp. That's the word, stomping.
Yeah.
I tend to be quite heavy footed because I get sensory pleasure from my feet hitting the ground. And in barefoot shoes, I just feel it more. I think you have a similar thing as well.
Yeah, like I say, I prefer not having things on my feet. I'm weird with, we talked about like clothes and fabrics and that kind of thing before. But yeah, there's something about not having stuff on my feet, and the way I walk in general is, I suppose, different. Like I say, I have a walk that is more for like sensory stuff. So yeah, swapping them over to these shoes did seem better for me, because, like I say, it is the feeling of the floor. Like usually, even like as a kid, I used to go outside a lot barefoot, without like shoes and socks. And I'm like that around houses and flats. I don't really wear like socks when I'm indoors or slippers or anything like that. I just kind of walk around with no shoes on a lot of the time. So it's the same when I've got shoes on my feet, I'm very like aware of them. We've talked before about like tags in your clothes that you can feel on your back. With me, when I've got things on my feet, I can kind of tell they're on my feet. I weirdly have a similar problem with facial hair as well, where I can't let my facial hair like grow out because it gets a certain length and I can feel it on my face constantly. I'm constantly aware that it's there, and it starts to become like really irritating. It feels like I'm wearing something on my face, so I have to get rid of it. And it's the same with shoes and some items of clothing as well. I feel better once I've got them off. So yeah, it works better for that. And yeah, like with the running and stuff, it feels better for me in general. I feel like there is like a sensory thing which is more calming than normal shoes, I suppose. And so that's why I've started doing them for walking. It's just because I think it is the feeling of feet on the floor. I mean, my sensory therapist said I did things like really like press my feet into the floor when I walk. And you can tell if you ever look at like my shoes, if you flip them over, you can always see that the heel goes first on my shoes. Like it always seems to wear out really quickly. Like I put holes through the bottoms of a lot of shoes I've owned because of the way I walk and the way I like force my feet into the floor. And yeah, it's a sensory thing. You'll probably see if you are on the spectrum or know somebody who is, that they'll do something sensory. I know someone that used to drag themselves against walls when they walked, or it's just things like that. So yeah, I feel like it helps with that. And then if you combine that with the running and the thinking and everything, I found it's a way to calm myself, just to help myself sleep and that kind of thing. Because a lot of sensory stuff doesn't really work for me that well. Like you've got a weighted blanket, but the weighted blanket for me, I've used it occasionally. It doesn't really have the same effect on me, but running and exercise does seem to have that.
Yeah.
It's one of the only few things I can do to help myself, I suppose, relax or calm down, other than like computer games and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And same. I mean, I don't have the same problems as you, like the ones that you've just mentioned, but I definitely have noticed the difference in it. Just sort of gives me a little bit more enjoyment, I suppose. I think it makes me look forward to going for a run because I know that I'm going to get that sensory feel from it. And yeah, we have started wearing them just as, so we have running shoes, but we also have barefoot shoes for that look more like normal daytime shoes that we wear just for the day. And it really does make a difference. It makes me feel better about going outside. Which is quite interesting, and it is nice. And then, you know, sometimes I seek out more like rougher terrains just so I can get that sensory feeling from it. We were walking on, I guess, more cobbled ground, and that was quite nice. I enjoyed sort of feeling that. And other than just the shoes, that's another thing that I think you in particular get from cycling. I mean, I do, but you always cycle in a really high gear for, I think, a similar reason.
Yeah, I'd cycle in like a harder gear, so it's one where you have to like really push for the pedals to move. And yeah, same again, it's the force feedback of pushing down on the pedal. I find it more calming. I've noticed that if I put it on a lighter gear and I cycle when it's looser, that seems to annoy me. I seem to get agitated with that when my legs move really quickly and I'm barely moving.
Yeah.
So there is something to the pushing. Even if the pushing like down is difficult or is harder to do, for some reason I prefer that. Same with like going up hills and that kind of thing. There's something about the feeling of that which is I prefer. Like I say, I'm not sure what it is. I spoke to my sensory therapist about it once, but she just said you need like sensory feedback, and getting the feedback for some reason is It's some, it's calming. It's the same with like weighted stuff or pushing things that are heavy or lifting things that are heavy. I know some people on the spectrum that are into like weightlifting and that kind of thing because they get an interesting like feeling from lifting something up that's heavy. As opposed, they're not doing it for like muscle gain and that kind of thing. They're doing it because there's some sort of this relaxing to just lifting heavy things off the floor and then putting them back down again. So there's a lot of that. I feel like I have that to some extent. I always lift stuff that is heavy or carry, like when I'm walking back from like shopping, sometimes I'll carry like all bags up and down stairs, or I'll carry like 4 or 5 bags. Emily said once that she used to like that I'd carry all the bags of the thing, but she said that I was just doing it for a stim. I was just stimming by purposely carrying like 4 heavy shopping bags and saying, it's don't worry, you don't have to carry anything. I'll carry it all, put a backpack on me, give me 4 bags. She said it was nice because she felt that like people she'd been with in the past didn't have the same sort of like chivalry or that kind of thing. And she said that it was nice that they'd make her carrier bags, but she likes going with me. She kept calling me like her pack horse, but then she realized that I was just doing it almost like selfishly just for the stim of carrying something heavy for a distance. So yeah, it's the same thing there. I think I've noticed that a lot of people that I've seen on like social media and like burger sites on Facebook in general, there's a lot of them that are into weightlifting or that kind of thing because it gives them some sort of enjoyment from it. But do you think the normal reasons, the NT ones of I want to build muscle or I want to lose weight and that kind of thing, but really there's like a hidden element there that I suppose NT people get, but it's they don't pick up on it like people on the spectrum do. And obviously because our emotions to stuff are slightly duller on a lot of things, like as much as the endorphin thing is something people say they work out for endorphins, I'm not sure that I experience endorphins from doing stuff. I don't feel like there's supposed to be like a rush of happiness or joy or whatever. I don't get that, but I do get some sort of like feeling of relaxation from it instead. So I don't get the mood lifting of working out, which I think is why a lot of people, NT people anyway, feel good after they've worked out because of that thing of enjoyment. I feel like a more relaxed vibe from working out. And I think a lot of people on the spectrum that do go to the gym, if they go to the gym, if they can go to the gym, or do some sort of working out, it's because they like the stim, the like it kind of like calms them down a bit, like just doing that. It's the same with like weighted blankets or one of the ones that I was told. I know some people say that they like to sit on a gym ball instead of a seat. So they say it's good for like your posture. And there's loads of NT people that use gym balls as like a chair instead of like an actual chair when they're at home watching telly. They'll just sit on a gym ball and watch telly on there. But my sensory therapy said that that was also good for people on the spectrum because it helps you concentrate because it's moving all the time. So it helps you like not get too bogged down in your thought processes by just having a gym ball, and that was recommended to me to do as well. And there is something about the trying to stay on a ball, which is also like a form of exercise, I suppose, that's interesting. The only one of the exercises that I've noticed that doesn't work for me, which is one of those ones that people have said works well for those on the spectrum, is things like yoga. Because with like yoga, you've got to, I guess they tell you to like, clear your mind and, you're supposed to focus on that. I'm not good at that because I get too distracted in my head when I'm doing stuff. I'm not able to shut off. So ones like that don't work for me. I need like exercises that are quite,
Tough.
yeah, I suppose, because like with cycling, running, that kind of thing, you don't need to be thinking. Well, you can think, but you don't need to be focused so much. And also, it's useful because obviously, like we've said about the barefoot running shoes and that kind of thing. I have seen some people that are autistic that are into cycling, and then cycling becomes your like special interest or like one of your obsessive thoughts. Is sometimes it is gym stuff or running stuff or cycling stuff. So it's kind of like a it kind of works double there. Not only are you've got exercise that's giving you like stimulation, it's also like good for your like thought processes. You then get really into bikes. You start thinking about all different types of bikes and all different types of things you can do with cycling, and then you're into like cyclists and like cycling on telly, and like it becomes your thing, which is also good because I think the obsessions and the special interests are good things for people on the spectrum to have something that they're into.
Yeah, and that's quite a positive one, I suppose. It brings a lot of benefits with it, both mentally and physically. So, yeah, I agree. I don't have the same thing with yoga. I do actually enjoy yoga quite a lot. Again, for sensory reasons, I think yoga's a really good one for things like that, because where you're really pushing your body into different stretches that can be bordering on uncomfortable, but that's kind of what I like. I kind of like a certain level of discomfort. So I find yoga really good for that, especially the more difficult stretches. Not that I'm very good, but to really push my body into it and to feel different parts of my body almost ache. I quite like that. Like you said, with the heavy lifting, I don't have that, probably because I can't lift anything. But I definitely, when I was at school, I always wanted to be on the rugby team, and not because I liked rugby, just because I liked the idea of someone charging into me and just the impact of hitting me. If you don't know what rugby is, I know it's not that common in.
Yeah, I think there's rugby in other.
I know there is. I remember listening to like an American podcast once, and they were like, "What is rugby? It's a game. It's almost similar to American football."
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know. I played rugby and I still understand the rules. I'd say they're pretty much the same game.
I think they are different, but they're similar-ish. It's quite a high impact sport. You don't wear padding though, so you definitely feel the impact of charging into each other. I quite like that, and I think sometimes I try and play fight with you quite a lot, because I quite like pushing. I just quite kind of like wrestling vibes. I quite like that. I'm not very good at it, but I really like, I guess, that high impact kind of thing. I don't know if you get anything from that.
I did martial arts for a long time. I originally meant to do it because obviously when I was younger, my parents recognised that I had like anger issues in general. So they thought, you know, a lot of people get given martial arts as a way to deal with that, because it's supposed to focus your like anger, and you also then like don't need to, you understand that you learn to control it and that kind of thing. It didn't really work for that, but the martial art I did was full contact. It was a full contact martial art, so it wasn't like the ones that, you know, you do them just, it's a lot of movements and, you know, that kind of thing. It was full contact in general. So it was, there was like sparring, there was like wrestling, that kind of thing. There was like fighting in general. And I did find that enjoyable to a sense, for the same reasons. Like obviously it stopped me from thinking about like the stuff that would bother me. I did have anger outbursts during it, which wasn't helpful at times. So there were times where, because it's weird, because I enjoyed parts of it, and I did enjoy the rock. Like I say, I'm not into being touched that much. And obviously when it comes to that kind of thing, it is touching. So there is sometimes, I didn't mind the wrestling and the sparring if I was winning.
Yeah.
But when I lost, I didn't enjoy losing, especially if it was like a wrestling thing and they pinned me down and I couldn't move. So I couldn't like get out of the thing they put me in. I found myself getting almost to like the level of meltdown because of it. And then I'd start like lashing out. And there'd be times, not so much as I got older, but when I was younger, where they'd let go of me because I'd won. And then as we got up, I'd just start hitting them and like start attacking again, even though it was over, which, you know, nearly got me kicked out a couple of times because I couldn't control it. But then, as time went on, I mean, I did it for I think I did it from about the age of 9 till I was 22, I did martial arts for. Obviously, as time went on, I did control it better. But then I don't know if that was down to the fact that I got good at it, that it was hard to be beaten. So a lot of people struggled to beat me in general. It was only the higher grades. But when you get beaten by a higher grade, it's not like when you first start out and everyone's a bit clumsy and everyone knows what they're doing. They were the times when it was irritating me where, you know, like a stray like punch would hit me somewhere in the face and I'd be like, you know, immediately someone's touched my face, so I'd then overreact as I do. And then as I got older, once I had become like, I eventually became like an instructor, And when it was that stage, the only people that would be able to beat me at that point were the people that were like higher than me, but they would never do something that was accidental, or they'd never put you in a hold that was like covering your face completely so you couldn't really breathe that well.
Yeah.
So I never saw the outbreaks later on. It could be that martial arts calmed it down. I would say that my anger levels now are nowhere near the levels of when I was a child. I still get angry now, but it's more verbal. I'm not physically aggressive to anyone anymore.
No, you're not.
And that could have been martial arts that channeled that, or it could just be an older thing. But the exercise of martial arts, I found, did help. When I did come out of it, I did feel calmer.
Mm.
Even though it was groups, and I wasn't big with groups, and it was difficult sometimes when I first started out, because you have to train with people you don't know. And I did find it awkward. I used to only pick out people that I knew. So my brother used to do it as well. And then some of my brother's friends would do it. So I'd only pick them out, or I'd try and train with my dad, because my dad was the person that got me into it. He was an instructor and had been for a long time. Like, he owned a dojo that I did with him. So sometimes I'd try and pick him out, but obviously he's supposed to be going around making sure everyone's doing it correctly. But I kept trying to like get him to go with me, because I didn't want to go with other people. But then as you get on, you get to know everyone better. It's kind of like being at work or school. Eventually you know kind of everyone, so it's not as bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say I totally did all that for the sensory stuff. I noticed that a lot of stuff that I was into was the sensory things. It was the stuff that was more like being thrown, the impact on the floor, or pushing people about, or that kind of thing. I just didn't like anything that was too like in my face or too touchy, but the general thing of it was fine. And it might be the same way some people like rugby or that kind of thing, I suppose.
Yeah, I definitely think that I like things like that. I like being thrown, I like pushing and being pushed. It's a weird sensory thing for me. I think that's quite interesting that you say that helped with your... I think in general exercise can help with I think the aggression that can sometimes be directly linked to Asperger's, I think the exercise can certainly help with that, because I'm not very aggressive as a person. In general, I wouldn't say I'm very aggressive. I don't get angry that often. It's not really my thing, but I definitely think that if I haven't done exercise for a longer period of time, I notice myself get probably more aggressive, and I think that comes from almost craving some form of
physical stimulus, I guess.
Yes, and I do think when I am working out, it is usually not to push myself so hard that I break, but definitely to push myself to a point where it's just a little bit physically uncomfortable. That's kind of a level that I quite like, and I think really helps with Asperger's. Like I say, with yoga, I like to do things that are almost a bit uncomfortable. With running, I like to run a little bit faster than would be my comfort level. And with cycling, like you say, going to that harder gear.
Oh, well, with me, it's if I say, like, I run and I start getting tired or start getting a stitch and that kind of thing, I find myself wanting to stop immediately.
Yeah.
So for me, I kind of have the opposite. I'm okay with it until it starts becoming uncomfortable.
Okay.
And then I kind of want to stop. With the heavy cycling, it's fine. I don't mind doing it because I can do it, but say if I do it for too long,
yeah,
and I start to tire out, that's when I start finding myself getting like worked up and like agitated again.
Okay.
It's the same with running. If running gets too much, I start thinking like, when's it going to be over? And especially if it's a run that I do regularly,
yeah,
and I know how much further I've got left, I get to a point where I start thinking like, oh, I want to be done with this now. But then in my head I start thinking, well, if I start walking this, it's going to take like 3 times the time to get back to the flat now. So do I keep going or don't I keep going? So like, I kind of have
a different
feel to it. It kind of distracts me once I start getting like worn out or a stitch or that kind of thing. Then I start focusing on that and not focusing on the things that I'm doing, and then I start finding myself getting like annoyed that I'm starting to tire all of a sudden. So yeah, for me, it's like a weird balance. I enjoy it, but then once it starts becoming like not enjoyable, then I start getting like a bit funny about it.
That's interesting. So I think we do use exercise differently, but we do both seem to have like a similar mentality. I think for mine it's more, so I think with you it's more to sort of soothe your aggression and to help with your thoughts. Whereas for me, I think it does that, but for me I think it's more to use up my energy, because I think I get quite restless. I'm especially when I've been sat down too long or inside too long or just doing the same activity too long. I'm quite a restless person with that. Like sometimes I think I say to you, like, I need to do something different. I need to, and then that's just a me thing. It's weird. If it's something like reading a book or doing a puzzle or like playing Sudoku, then I could probably do it for hours. But if it's something like being sat down watching TV, I can't do that for too long without getting a bit worked up, a bit like needing to do something.
Fair enough.
So that's probably the main benefit for me for exercise, is just it helps to soothe with my restlessness, I would say. How interesting.
I think that's it for this week.
Yes.
So thanks everyone for listening again.
Yes, thank you.
Those of you that are following us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, it's greatly appreciated. I've noticed that is slowly climbing up again. Also, anyone that's joining the group, we've had loads of people join the group again this week. That's going well. Everybody's in there. Like I say, it's a good way for you if you want questions about Asperger's in general. There's quite a lot of people in there now. Obviously, it came together originally as a way for people to talk about the podcast, but now it's just a general like forum for anyone that's got questions about autism, or if they do want to talk about the episode, it's still okay to do that. There's people that bring up the topics they like or their comments on the episodes in general, which is good. But obviously there's people in there that just ask questions in general, and there's loads of people in there now that know a lot of stuff about autism. So if you've just got a question, or you've got some information you want, or if you're new to your diagnosis or your understanding, or you've just met someone that's got autism and you don't really know it, we don't really know how Asperger's works and you want some better advice, anything like that, just join the group, or you just want to chat to people that have got it as well, of a similar.
And yeah, if you do want to talk about the episode, also, like, it's helpful for us. We like to see what people think of things. Like we said with last week's episode, we weren't too sure how it would be received. So having people comment on what they thought about it was really helpful for us. And if you do have any topics that you would like us to cover, send us a message. You can put it on the wall, but if you want to just do it directly to us, if you don't necessarily want everyone to see, feel free to just message us. We will consider pretty much all topics. I mean, we're open to everything really. So anything you want us to talk about, put it in there. We are definitely willing to talk about anything really.
Also, I know there's a few people that aren't on social media for various reasons. I know social media is not the best place for some people on the spectrum, and they don't like it being on there, and I get that. So we also have themaspergers@gmail.com for anyone that wants to talk to us directly but doesn't want to like join Facebook or Instagram or any of that kind of thing, because you don't want to be in there. That's also fine. Like I say, it's themaspergers@gmail.com. If you email us on there, it's a bit slower to get a reply from us on there, admittedly. There's some people that have sent me emails on there from a few weeks now that I keep meaning to reply to them, but then I need to take time to reply. I could do like a quick, oh yeah, thanks, but I want to like reply, so I'm not the fastest at that, but I will get back to you as soon as I can on that. Also, like I said, if you want to message us on any other social media platforms and not talk to us publicly on something, also fine. But yeah, that is it for this week. Thanks everyone for listening again. Like I say, we get more listeners all the time, which is greatly appreciated. And obviously, all feedback is also good as well. We like to know how we're doing and how you feel, especially with episodes like this one, and the one before, because we're kind of moving into stuff that's, I would have never thought we did an episode on exercising. So yeah, it's interesting that we've done that.
And we've got some ideas for other sort of different things as well in the future that I think would be quite good. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. It's not a radio station.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Bye.